Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series. This is actually the end of my third week of teaching on how to receive God's best. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. I know that there are so many people that are living below what God has intended for them. Sad to say, some religious people teach that all of our suffering and hardship and poverty and sickness and whatever it is you're going through is God doing this to you for some purpose to help you, make you better. But I tell you, I don't believe that that's so. God has provided a good life for us. He wants you to prosper and succeed. You know, there, as it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes for no other purpose except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That was Jesus speaking. And Jesus' plan is to give you an abundant life. And so God has a blessing out there, His favor that He's wanting to release into your life. But you've got to learn how to receive it. And sad to say, many people have been taught to settle for less than what God has for them. So that's what I've been teaching on for 3 weeks. I've got this brand new album entitled How to Receive God's Best. And I encourage you to please get this because the things that I've said prior to this program are really important. And yet we're beginning to get into some of the most important things about how to receive God's best. Yesterday I was making the point that the blessing of God isn't a physical thing. Physical things, assets, are a result of the blessing of God. But the blessing of God is His spoken favor over you. And if you can make this distinction and separate yourself from the assets that the blessing of God produces, and instead look at those as byproducts instead of the real blessing, if you can do that, then during a downtime, if somebody was to steal something of yours, if you were to have a wreck and ruin your car, or anything that comes in and fluctuates. We live in a fallen world and things happen. And if you can divorce yourself from the things that the blessing produces and instead look at the blessing as the blessing is God's spoken favor over me, well, then that's something that cannot be touched by any natural disaster, by any thief, by anything. That is something that is consistent. And so if you look at it that way, then regardless of what happens, you've still got the blessing of God. And if somebody was to steal something from you, if you lost something, you'd get it back because you've still got the blessing of God. I think it's important that you do that. When Jamie and I first started believing that we were blessed, we didn't have any assets. We owed more than what we had, and we were struggling. And if we would have thought that the blessing of God was just these physical things, then we would have said, well, we aren't blessed. But we began to believe that we were blessed and talk that we were blessed and act like we were blessed long before there was any physical things to prove it. And I think that that is a key in what we've experienced in the manifestation of the blessing that we now have in our life. And I just encourage you to recognize that the blessing of God is His spoken favor over you. Look at this verse in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 34. It says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." And if you were to take this whole psalm and study it, he's talking about that he made covenant with the children of Israel about he would give them this land, and specifically he made covenant with David, that David and his seed would last forever. And of course, we find in Galatians chapter 3 that this seed is talking about Christ, not just the Jews. Personally, there are blessings that were spoken about them and apply to them, but specifically it's talking about the promised seed, Jesus, the son of David. And anyway, the point is that at this time, the Israelites had rebelled at God, broken His covenant, and because of that, they were experiencing hardship. They were going into captivity. There were bad things happening, and yet in the midst of it, He says, "But my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." There was going to be some retribution and some consequences to the Jews, but still He would fulfill His covenant because when God spoke something and it comes out of his mouth. It's a covenant. It's like a contract is what that means. And he will not break it. It says over in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is the express image of God the Father, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. And I could spend literally 30 minutes or an hour developing that, but what this is saying is that everything that Jesus does, he holds it together. The entire universe is held together by the power of his word. It says he spoke everything into existence, and he upholds all things by the power of his word. The point I'm making is that if God ever broke his word, the universe would self-destruct. I know some of you don't make this connection and understand it, but I literally believe that. If you turn over to the book of Genesis, he said, let there be light. He said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, etc. He spoke this world into existence. Everything physical that you and I can experience was created by words. You were created by words. God spoke our original parents into existence and then blessed them by saying words and said, you be fruitful and multiply. God's word created everything physical, and according to Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. It's held together by his word. You know, I've actually read that in an atom, that, of course, you have the nucleus and then you have the electrons that go around it. But in the nucleus, there are like charged particles. And according to every law of physics that we understand, like charged particles repel each other. You know, it's like if you take one of these magnets and you put the positive, two positive ends together, and the magnet will actually push the other one away. Likes repel each other. Opposites attract each other. In physics, that's what we know. And yet in the nucleus of an atom, there are like charged particles. They should be flying apart, and yet they aren't. There's only a few unstable atoms like uranium and plutonium and stuff that we have been able to split that atom. And when you do, this powerful energy is released, the atomic bomb. But I read that in a slice of bread, the atoms that are in a slice of bread, if you could split those atoms, there would be enough energy in a common slice of bread to power an ocean liner across the Atlantic Ocean and back. There's that much power in those atoms, but they're held together, and we can't understand it because they have like charged particles. They should be repelling each other. What is it that holds everything together? According to Hebrews 1:3, he upholds or holds everything together by the power of his word. So, as long as this universe is still held together and physics are still working the way that they've worked for thousands of years, as long as this universe does not self-destruct, then that is a proof to us that God has never violated his word. If he ever violated his word, it's his word that holds everything together. So the integrity of God's word, when God says something, Psalms 89:34, it's a contract. It's binding. He will not break it. He will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of his lips. Boy, that's powerful. And the reason I bring all of this up is to say that the blessing of God, what a blessing is the spoken favor of God. Once God speaks favor over you, once God pronounces something good and says this over you, God will never violate it. Man, it is established. It's eternal. And the only thing that is missing from the spoken favor of God is our faith. We have to believe it. I used this verse before, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, "For the word was preached unto them, for the word that was preached unto us was preached also unto them, but the word preached unto them did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it." The word of God is unchangeable. It's a contract. He'll never alter it. He holds everything together by that word. It's got integrity in it. But you have to believe it to get the power of God's word working in your life. And to get the blessing working in your life, it is God's spoken favor. And this Bible is a record of all of the blessings that he's spoken unto us. These are all of the awesome things that He said about you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath, out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's just so many blessings. We will lend unto many nations and we shall not borrow. Now, it's obvious that that's not automatic because most people aren't living that way. Most people are borrowing. Most people are in hock up to their ears. But God spoke that we would be so blessed that we would lend unto many nations and we would not borrow, that no sickness would prosper, that all sickness would be gone, that we would be prosperous in our cattle and in the ground and in the rain that comes on us. And God has spoken all kinds of blessings over us. They don't always come to pass because we have to believe it. You know, I remember reading about when the bubonic plague was sweeping Europe, and I mean thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands or millions of people died in like the, 1700s as these plagues came through. But I read about one pastor of a church, and he was in a little village, and he believed the blessing of God that no plague would come nigh our dwelling, Psalms chapter 91. And he stood on the edge of his town, and that plague was coming from, you know, like a certain direction. And he stood on that edge of that town, and he just took authority and said, no plague will come nigh our dwelling. And he exempted that village from the plague. And there was possibly millions of people died from the plague, but not a single person in that village got even sick. They didn't even have the plague. And it was in every village around them. It was everywhere. And some people think, well, then why did God do that? Why didn't God do that for other places? God spoke that same power over any person who's a believer and gave us this ability to say that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. But you know what? God speaks it and God releases it and His word cannot change. But the difference is not very many people will believe this. Not very many people will go for God's best. Most people would look at that and think, well, who do you think you are? Do you think you're something special? You think you're better than anybody else? I don't think I'm better than anybody else. It's not me, but I do believe that God has blessed me. And if I can believe it and receive it, and if I'll take my authority and use it, I believe I can operate in things that are better than what other people are receiving. And I know that there's people that think that's arrogant or that think it's selfish. I think it's humility. To sit there, if God provided it and if God spoke this, if He bore my sickness and carried my disease, why would I want to carry it? That's double jeopardy. He's already been punished for it. It's just humility. It's humility to say that, praise God, I'm not going to get sick because Jesus has borne it. He's spoken this blessing over me that He heals all of my diseases. He carried all my infirmities and heals all my diseases. That's what the Word of God says. And if God has done that, well, then it's humility on my part to believe it and mix my faith with it and speak it out and walk in it. And there's a lot of people that, well, I'd never do that. Well, it's obvious. That's the reason it's not working for you. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm saying that just like this pastor exempted his entire village from the plague because he took his authority and spoke it, every person could have done that. Every person could have done that. You know, I remember a time I was holding a meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. I go there every September. I've been doing this for over 20 years. And it seems like that's in the height of hurricane season. And we've had a bunch of hurricanes come through. I remember one hurricane came through and they were predicting torrential rains, damaging winds, and terrible things. And we just took agreement. We were meeting in a tent and we took agreement and spoke that that wasn't going to be damaging. And you know what? During that, when the eye of that storm came over us, the sun was actually shining enough that there was a rainbow and there was a mist. But it wasn't this damaging rain, it wasn't flooding, it wasn't high winds, and the hurricane came through, and I tell you what, it wasn't much of a big storm at all. There was another time I remember that a hurricane, I think it was Hurricane Floyd, I forget, but anyway, one of those hurricanes was headed towards that, and I was there, and we took agreement and just spoke the blessing of God and commanded that thing to turn and not to hit North Carolina. And did you know that that thing turned and actually went and hit Florida? I mean, it made like a left-hand turn and went and hit Florida, and it was devastating. And I had some people come to me and say, well, why did you send it to Florida? I said, I didn't send it to Florida. I just told it not to come here. And I said, they said, but why did the people in Florida, look, they got punished. And I said, they're blessed too. If there would have been somebody in Florida taking their authority and speaking, well, then they could have sent that thing back out to sea. You know, I don't believe that it's just this one pastor in Europe that had his village spared and that was all God's will was. No, it was God's will. He spoke a blessing over all of his people, but there was only one example that I'm aware of people that stood their ground and spoke the blessing of God and mixed it with faith. Man, this is powerful, the things I'm saying. God's blessing is his spoken favor over us. And once he speaks it, he'll never change. It's a contract. It's a covenant. And my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. He has spoken blessings over us, but most of us just don't believe in the power of words. We live in a society where words aren't that important. You know, there's people watching this program right now, and I hope you don't take offense. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to point out how we've been deceived and we aren't operating in God's best in this area. But there's people watching this program that if, you know, you're supposed to be someplace at 7 o'clock, people can count on it that you're going to be there at 7:05, 7:15, 7:30. There's some of you that if you're supposed to be someplace at 7, you don't leave home until 7. You are expected to be late, and yet you said, you told a person you'd be there. You know what that is? Most people think, well, that doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's an approximation. No, God, if he tells you that he's going to do something and he'll be there by 7, he'll be there before 7 or by 7, God would never be late. Being there at 7:01 is ungodly. The word ungodly means not like God. And some people think, oh, ungodly is lying and stealing and murder and adultery. Well, those things are ungodly. God doesn't do that. But you know what? God also keeps his word. And if God tells you that he will do something, he will do it. God would never violate his word. If he did, the entire universe would self-destruct. And so if you are a person that your words don't mean very much. If you tell a person, oh, I'll come over to your house, I'll be there at 7, and you don't get there at 7, you're ungodly. You aren't living the way that God is. And what this does, it hinders your relationship with other people. After a while, they don't believe what you're saying. And you know, it also hinders you. Because in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says that you have to speak unto the mountain and believe that what you say in your heart comes to pass. And if you will do that, then you can have whatever you say. But every time you say you're going to do something, you're going to be someplace at a certain time and you're late, you know what? You have just deceived and violated your own conscience and your own heart. And after a while, you'd get to where you don't believe what you're saying. And yet the Bible says you have to believe that what you say comes to pass. This is one reason some of you can say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Body, you be healed. And your body just doesn't even respond. You know why? Because you say so many things that you don't mean. You listen to things. We listen to music and stuff that is talking about adultery and whining and complaining and depression and negative. And people use that for entertainment. Not only your words, but every word that you hear has life or death in it. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It didn't say death and life and a whole bunch of other stuff that doesn't matter. No, every word that you hear, every word that you speak is either life or death. It is either releasing positive or negative. And when you watch movies where people are lying and stealing and doing things and you do that for entertainment, you are ministering death to yourself. I know some of you don't agree with that. And you think, oh man, you are fanatical. You're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. I'm telling you, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And if you think that you can listen to music that is saying bad stuff, talking about killing cops and doing whatever, and that doesn't affect you, and if you can watch things and hear all of this strife and people picking at each other and criticizing each other. And if you can do all of this stuff and it doesn't affect you, then according to 1 Corinthians 15:33, you're deceived, because evil communication corrupts good manners. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you've got to get to where we start placing an importance on words. The Bible shows us that words are super, super important. We live in a society today that doesn't place that same emphasis on words, but God's Word is true and not our society. There was a time 50 or 100 years ago or whenever that you could shake hands with somebody, and I mean, that was better than a contract. A person's word was his bond. Today, if you have a contract and sign it, if you have a good lawyer, you can get out of nearly any contract. They can go in and pick the thing apart and find a loophole, and people just void and violate their words. And because of it, most of us don't put this kind of an importance on words. But I've quoted a number of scriptures to you. The Word of God says death and life are in the power of the tongue. When God speaks something, He does not change. And we need to adopt the Bible's attitude towards words. And then go to the Word of God and start reading the words that God has pronounced over us. And when He says that you will lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow, there is a blessing in those words that if we would mix it with faith and believe it, you could get to a place to where you owe no man anything. That you aren't in debt. That you are financially secure. It says no plague will come nigh your dwelling, and you wouldn't have to worry about the flu and about the other sickness and disease and stuff, but you could speak the Word. The Word has already been spoken, and if you would just mix it with faith and speak it out your mouth and believe that your words come to pass, you could start walking in divine health to where you wouldn't be getting sick and have to have a miracle to get you over cancer, but instead you would have never gotten it in the first place. You can get to where you activate the blessing of God, but it's going to have to be done by faith. And you're going to have to start believing in the power of words, in your words. You're going to have to go to the Word of God and look at it like a contract and search it and say, Father, where did you say something positive about what your will for me is? What kind of blessing have you spoken? And when you find something in here that says that you'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, Deuteronomy chapter 28, you say, that's it. God spoke this. I mix it with faith and boom, it will start manifesting itself in your life if you can understand the power of the spoken favor of God over your life. I tell you, this is important. I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm out of time today. I'm going to have to go into next week's programs talking about the power of God's blessing in your life. But I tell you, this could change you. This has changed my life. And it has made a difference. I'm walking in a level of blessing that I never walked in before. And it's because of these truths. And some of you need this desperately in your life. And I'm telling you things that could just transform the way that you receive from God. I believe it would be a tremendous blessing to you. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this teaching. I've got this brand new teaching out in DVD or in CD form on how to receive God's best. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today and join me again next week as I continue to talk about how to receive God's best.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Blessing of God, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.
I was born with congenital heart disease. The doctors gave up hope on recovery for me. I was turning the TV on one night while I was up taking medication, and there was Andrew teaching on God's kind of love. And he was talking right to me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. The Lord says that there's really only two options. There's life or death, blessing or cursing. Sometimes we think that there's all these other options, but the truth is, really, every decision you make is either moving you closer to God, which is life and blessing, or it's moving you away from God, which is towards death and cursing. And the good news is, God gave you that choice.
Well, after listening to Andrew's teachings, I studied the Word night and day, and God spoke to me, and He told me all was healed, all was well, even while I felt miserable, and I just left that identity. I left that sickness, and I'm healed.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.